Hello, this is Pastor Stephen Anderson from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. Today I want to go over with you James 1:1 from the Greek New Testament. In English, this verse says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now let's go through this word by word. The first word here, James, in Greek is Yakovos. And you'll notice it's very similar to the name Jacob. That's because the name Jacob and the name James are both the same name in the original languages. Words just change. Names change over time and as they go from one language to another. So we say James, but in the original it's Yakovos, okay, which is the same as the name Jacob. Yakovos Theou ke Kyriou Isou Christou Doulos tes dodeka philes tes enti diaspora cherin. All right? So Theou ke Kyriou Isou Christou should stand out to you right away as being in the genitive case. If you don't know what the genitive case is, go back over the lesson from Mark 1:1, where we saw those masculine singular genitives that ended in this ending, this omicron ypsilon ending, that telltale sign of the genitive case. And if you remember, the genitive case is either possessive or it corresponds to our English preposition of, all right? So theos means God, theou means of God, all right? So what this says is Yakovos, James, Theou, of God, ke means and, Kyriou means of Lord, in this case of the Lord, even though they don't use the word the same way we do in English, but ke Kyriou, of the Lord, because Kyrios is Lord, so in the genitive it becomes Kyriou, Isou Christou, Jesus Christ. So this is one unit here. Kyriou Isou Christou, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? All in genitive because it's all one unit. Okay? Then finally, right here, we have our word in the nominative case, servant, doulos. Okay? So what this is literally saying is, James, of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, servant. Notice how different the word order is in Greek. The Greek word order is a lot more flexible than it is in English. So a lot of times things come at you in an order that you're not really expecting. We, of course, in English say, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice this is moved around. But you can notice these os endings here, that masculine nominative case ending. This is a restatement of who James is. He's James, comma, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying who he is, okay? Now, this word doulos is pretty easy to remember as being servant if you know the word doula, okay? I know a lot about childbirth because my wife has given birth 7 times and she's expecting again. And a doula is a woman who helps out at a childbirth, okay? And so she's serving. She's a servant. She's helping out the woman who's giving birth. And doula is basically just a feminized, Americanized version of this Greek word doulos, which means servant, okay? So let's look at the next half of the verse here. It says, tes dodeka philes tes enti diaspora cherin. All right, now I've underlined some of these diphthongs for you to help you notice them in the second half of the verse here. And it's this alpha yota diphthong that I want to draw attention to. Now, when we went over the Greek alphabet in lesson 2, we talked about how this alpha yota diphthong makes the same sound as epsilon, okay? So whenever you see alpha yota as a diphthong, and of course we're doing modern Greek pronunciation, you pronounce it like an epsilon, okay? And so this is going to be pronounced tes dodeka philes tes enti diaspora sharing, all right? So all of those alpha, yota, diphthongs are pronounced like epsilons, okay? Now this word tes is the again, but this time it is in the plural dative case. And if you remember, dative case answers the question to whom or for whom. So when we see tes dodeka philes, these words mean the 12 tribes, but because they're in dative case, it becomes to the 12 tribes, all right? Now, dodeka, the word for 12, you'll notice this theka right there. That's the Greek word for 10. And we have words like decathlon, 10 events, right? Decalogue, or even the metric system, decaliter, decameter, decagram. So deca means 10, dodeca is 12, all right? That do at the beginning there takes it from 10 to 12. Dodeca philes, which is tribes, tes. Notice these two words are the same, okay? This is the again. But in this case, it's functioning as that or which, okay? So it's saying to the 12 tribes that, N means in, we've already gone over that word. T is the again, it's got a yoda subscript. What case do you think it's in? You should know by now that when we see that yoda subscript in nouns and adjectives and pronouns, that it's a telltale sign of that singular dative case. So N, the preposition, is usually followed by the dative case. Like, for example, in John 1:1, in the beginning, en archi, that archi had that yota subscript because it's also in dative case. En ti diaspora. Now, what does diaspora mean? Well, we have the English word diaspora, which is coming from the same root word as dispersion or to disperse. And the diaspora is talking about the children of Israel who've been scattered abroad or scattered throughout the world. In English, this verse says to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And this diaspora is referring to that, okay? So in Greek, it's worded as in the diaspora or in the dispersion, okay? It's a lot easier to understand the way it's worded in the King James when it just says the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad and has the identical meaning, okay? So tes in ti diaspora, and then there's a comma again. Sherin. Okay, now this word sherin means greeting, right? That's how it is in the King James, greeting. Notice these last three letters here. These show us that this word is an infinitive, okay? Now, an infinitive is, in English, the verb preceded by the preposition to. For example, to love, okay? To do, to learn. When we express verbs like that in English with two in front of them, those are infinitives, all right? Well, in Greek, the infinitive has this ending right here, this een ending. This word right here means greeting. Now, this is still used today in Greece as a greeting. If we were speaking modern Greek, if we were in Greece, we would greet someone by saying cherete, all right, which is another form of this word. Not the infinitive form, but a different form. Cherete means, you know, hello. It's just a way to greet people. And let's say you wanted to say hello, sir. You'd say, cherete, kyrie. All right, now what's kyrie? Cherete, kyrie. Kyrie is the same word as this right here, Lord, okay? Kyrios becomes kyrie when you're calling someone by that name. So when you say in Greece, cherete, kyrie, you're saying hello, sir, all right? Because the word for sir and the word Lord are the same word in Greek. In fact, it's that way in most languages. For example, in Spanish, if you want to call someone sir, you call them señor. And the Lord in Spanish is el señor. That's how it is in the Bible. That's how people refer to it. It's the same way in German. It's the same way in Hungarian. In fact, most languages that I've studied use the same word for sir and Lord. In English, we use two different words. But in Greek, you would say to someone when you're greeting them, if they're a man, cherete, kyrie, all right? Hello, sir. So this word is also used in modern Greek. If you meet someone and you want to say pleased to meet you, you say chero poli, all right? And so that's the first person singular form of the word, which would be the dictionary form of this word. So if you wanted to look this up in a Greek dictionary, you'd look up chero, ending in omega. All right, so that's greeting. So let's go over it one more time. Iakovos theou ke kyriou Isou Christou doulos, tes dodeka philes, tes enti diaspora, sherin.